For May 24th, 2013, we talk about the Xbox One reveal, Thomas Was Alone, and Super Stickman Golf 2. Welcome to the 21st level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And listen to the level of podcast for people who love video games.
Do we do the funny too early?
nothing will rise to that level here again. I think we may have. I was just coming out the gate hot. I didn't expect you guys to one up me or to match me. To one up me or to match me. I just assumed that there would be like a trickling off. So by the time we got to Ben, it would be like regular. But no, yeah. you guys exceeded my expectations. And ironically, I'm disappointed. So, as you may have heard me scream, this is a podcast for people who love video games, and we love you, despite the fact that we were away for a couple of weeks. I'm so sorry about that. But weird stuff happens, but we're back now. We'll never leave you again, baby. We hope that you liked the Heavy Rain rerun of a spoiler cast that we recorded way back, coming up on 2.5 years ago. We released that in the meantime here as a bonus level. Other news. I would like to thank everybody who's listening who donated to the Watch Out for Fireballs Kickstarter. We met our goal, and now we're working towards them stretchies. And as you're hearing this, there's likely still time left if you're wanting to get us to a stretch goal. But otherwise, you guys, I'm really, really happy to be on the mic with you. Is there anything new happening?
Well, sure, but we gotta wait for the brief.
Oh, okay. We gotta wait for the brief. Okay. I was thinking, personally in your lives, I wanted to, do we have an anecdote that we want to lead with?
That kind of, Jen's been gone for, sorry, my wife has been gone for going on 2 weeks now. not really sure where, no, she's on a business trip.
I was going to say, how long until a milk carton is involved?
Yeah. So, but my dinner has looked less and less like leftovers and more like pretzels and peanut butter.
He's reverting to a bachelor.
Yeah. It's kind of scary how fast it happened. I was up until 2:30 a.m. last night before I realized that it was a.m. anything. Been playing lots of them video games.
Oh, as you do.
Yeah, so huh. It's kind of scary. I'm finding myself just dropping clothes that I haven't even worn on the floor out of principle.
This is where you belong. It's so you can establish your dominance.
That's right. Mark my territory. Oh, crap. I forgot to feed the cats for the past 6 days.
Oh, no.
That's not funny. Hey, we had some fun here today, but I'll put in some inspirational music there. I probably won't. No, in fact, I will. I'll just drop a marker there.
Now everyone needs a personal story.
We'll save that for the end bosses. I wanted to try something new. And by something new, I mean getting you to squander your end boss on that.
I'm just happy to have someone to talk to.
It gets a little too loud when it's quiet.
Ever since the cat stopped talking to me a couple of days ago.
It's time for the brief, where we talk about things that happen in video games. A real humdrum, run-of-the-mill week here. We chose the wrong week to come back. So do we just want to go on to the grind, you guys?
I guess so.
Not really anything out there.
Yeah, no. There was a new Imagine Babies. I think they're reviving that on the Xbox One.
Also, I've been imagining babies.
Okay, there were two things there. First off, Dennis, what'd you say?
I've been imagining babies, but also yes. I just realized it took me a second to realize that when you said Xbox One, you didn't mean the original Xbox.
Well, you see, This is I know you are, but what am I? So that little goof there was. See, it's funny that I said there was nothing happening because in fact today, the day that we're recording this, it's a Tuesday. You're hearing this on a Friday if you're a worthwhile listener, one of the ones that we care about. Whoa! No, we're actually okay. Strange future people, you already know all this stuff, as do we, because it happened. Today,
in the relative past.
I would say that there's probably been a lot cleared up between, because the conference like just finished a couple hours ago, and right. The rumors are swirling.
Yeah. Just me, or is Sony and Microsoft like having a competition to see who can be more vague about their system?
All right. First things first, the name. Right. Let's look at this. So everybody thought so Xbox came out when the PS2 was out, and then PS3 happens, or, you know, it's like, okay, so they're obviously going to go PS3. So Microsoft did, 360, because that's 357 more than three, right? You know, so it's a thing. So PS4.
No, it's not.
What's that?
It's not 357 more than 360.
What? 360.
No, never
is,
mind. Sorry. I had six in my head for some reason.
Math is hard, guys.
Yeah,
this is a cry for help.
See, I paused for a second before I made that goof because I didn't want Ben to call me out. Ben is our arithmetic comptroller.
When you get it wrong, I apparently call you out when you get it right.
When anyone gets it wrong, I just sip on a beer.
You got drunk.
Oh man. No. So 360 greater than three. Okay. PS3 continued in a linear fashion. Okay. 3 to 4. Like, this is just the thing, that it is better than the three because it's a four.
Increment by one.
Increment by one. PS++. That's ladies. So people were thinking like, hey, the new Xbox, it'll be like the Xbox and Infinite, right? Like that's what I heard is what it was. But no, it's Xbox One, because one is the best, right?
That is such a dumb name.
The first.
You know, neglecting that there is an Xbox that came out before this. I don't know if anybody called it the Xbox One. It was just called, the Xbox. But I'm sorry to go into the semantics, to go in the taxonomy here. But what happens with the next system? Is it the Xbox Two?
I don't think, based on that show, there's not going to be a next one.
I don't know. So let's keep the punditry to a minimum.
One will be the loneliest number.
Let's keep the punditry to a minimum and focus on the facts.
Is this?
What were you going to say, Ben?
Should we refer to this as Xbox One 2, since there is already an Xbox One?
I don't know.
Xbox One, the second coming. It's person.
No, Ben, the rapture. Can't it just be the Xbox One 2?
I like that. Yeah, I think we should do the 1-2.
It can be the Xbox One TOO.
Or
the first one.
Or do an alien, and then, this is just Xboxes. I'm sorry. Xboxes. I will take one Xboxes, please. and then it'll be Xboxes 3. And David Fincher will be real sad.
Although the one logical thing I can think of this is that if you alphabetize it, it'll come first.
Oh yeah. So that's true. That is true. I like that. So let's look at the facts here first. It's going to be coming out later this year. It's going to have an 8-core processor, 8 gigabytes of memory. It'll come standard with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which is pretty cool. It ships with a Kinect, and the Kinect has to be plugged in in order for it to go.
At the time of this recording.
At the time of this recording, yeah. Who knows what will change?
Before they come to their senses.
Who knows what will change with the outrage? The the Microsoft has come out and officially said it is not always online. However, it does require an internet connection. There is an official statement that came out that said what that means is it needs to phone home at least once a day in order to continue being a thing. They're kind of focusing on the multimedia center, the center of your living room kind of feel.
Yeah.
With partnerships from TV companies and things like that. So just trying to bring everything together, including like internet, using Internet Explorer on it. Hooray. Also Skype, the new Kinect is 1080p. Going to be able to do like video Skype calls. Let me know if I'm missing anything, fellas. We'll get to the controversial one, at least the one that's most controversial to me here later. But very, very little was revealed about games, with the speculation being that they're trying to save that for E3, which is coming up here in like 2 weeks.
Seems like the big emphasis on the cloud.
Yeah. So just the idea that they're really, really hyper powering Xbox Live. They're kind of changing achievements around. I didn't quite understand that. Also, there's the potential to, like the PS4, offload computation to other systems, but the cloud, right?
Yeah, as I understand it, the idea with achievements is that because of the cloud, developers will be able to change up and like add new achievements at any time.
Yeah.
So basically Xbox discovered that patches are a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did that with, what is this here? DLC. DLC has its own achievements as well.
Right. So. Right.
Yeah.
There's one feature that I actually thought was really, really cool. And like when they said, I was like, oh my God, why has no one done that before? And it had to do with the hardware.
Good.
The controller, the trigger buttons now have force feedback.
Yes, that is awesome. Like that will make racing games really cool.
Oh, it'll make everything really cool.
Yeah.
So like, I'm used to force feedback being like when you've got a joystick and it's like fighting with you. Mm-hmm. How does force feedback translate to a trigger? Is it just like how much force is required to pull it down?
Think of like slamming on the brakes and how much force you put into that. Okay. And do the equivalent in a car. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, if you're slamming on the brakes and like, it's like catching, so like mm-hmm. it does like a little vibrate in and out. Or if you are doing like a full auto machine gun kind of thing, like instead of just this thing, just the whole thing vibrating, it'll actually like the recoil will push out a little bit on your finger as you're pressing it down.
Yeah, that's actually that does seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing that I liked.
There are a couple of other hardware things. So like the idea that you can play games as you're installing them, that's cool. Anything to take friction out of the user experience like that. Additionally, like waking it up, going from like, booting from the, sleep state or whatever, that being instant, that is really, really cool. Like, just because that is the biggest bummer. Any amount of time between when I press the button and when I am playing a thing is a real problem. So I like that. I like that emphasis there. They have a new controller, but it's not functionally different. They didn't go crazy like Sony did with the new touchpads and stuff. It's a real basic kind of thing, accepting the force feedback on the triggers ops.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they want to make you buy more controllers.
Well, I mean, yeah. So kind of getting into the disappointments here, and a lot of these kind of speak to issues that we've had in the past. So first off, because this is an x86 architecture, basically meaning it's, Intel or AMD, like your regular PC processor, as opposed to being PowerPC, which is what the current one is, or, Cell, which is what the PS4 is. Like the PS4, it's not going to be able to play games from this generation. Additionally, and this is the one that like is a real big bummer and real discouraging, there's no support for any of your Xbox Live Arcade games as well. So what this means is like you're holding on to that Xbox 360 forever now.
See, I feel like that's kind of BS because, when I saw this, I actually looked up and I can download an Xbox 360 emulator for my computer. So if some random dude can make x86 architecture run Xbox 360, why can't Xbox make a X83 architecture run Xbox 360?
I'm not meaning to use that as an excuse. Like, obviously there might be a commercial reason for why they're doing it, but I don't know. It runs into like what you have with the original Xbox, right? The original Xbox, I believe. Oh man, I'm going to tell tales out of school. Let me look this up real quick. But like the original Xbox was just PC parts out of a box that were put into a box with an X on it, so you knew that there were X's in it. Let me see.
Which,
here.
By the way, when they were talking about the super trending features for video on demand that would identify you and find your personal preferences, mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, this is going to be the XXX box.
So that's like one of the bigger, grosser things that I want to talk about just with the user experience. Let's see here. The CPU. Yeah, the CPU on the original Xbox was like a Pentium 3. And, the original Xbox or the Xbox 360. Damn it, this is so confusing. The Xbox 360 was backward compatible.
Someone codify it.
Codify it in a way that makes sense. It's the
We could call it the Y box. As in, why are they making it?
Well, it's obvious. Yes. It's obvious why they're making it, because they got to keep up. So they did do emulation from one, from x86 to PowerPC, but if they, how can they do multi-core stuff? I don't even know. I'm out of my depth with that, but yeah, that's a thing.
That suck. That just seems like a,
what's that?
I said, why don't they make it not suck? That just seems like a basic.
Okay, can you say something more helpful than
by
that?
By making it suck.
Yeah. No, I am specifically unhelpful in this.
That's fine.
It is more underwhelming than I ever could have hoped it would be.
So looking at the kind of like the dashboard experience and talking about how you can have like a multi-screen kind of thing with the smart glass. Making it so that you can, talk with somebody on Skype and then have a game running over here and watch Star Trek up here in this corner. And then, you can call you can play Mortal Kombat with your friend in Vietnam. It's, if you
Sounds
get
like
that
a speech from the cable guy.
Thank you. I was going to say, if you guys get that reference, I'll leave because my day is my work is done here.
All right, guys, let's pack it up.
last episode.
No. But like all of that stuff. So like, okay, why would you want to do that? Like I don't even know. I'm going to sound like an old man here, but I'm not averse to like, doing something. I will sit down and play Super Stickman Golf on my phone while I have something on the TV that I just have on as background noise. But like, just kind of like talking about when they say you can have Star Trek up while you are talking with your friends about Star Trek, and you can open up your browser window to, look up like stuff about Star Trek. All that I see is like opportunities for them to look at what you're doing and then place more stuff around you to sell it to you.
Yeah.
Like the Xbox dashboard right now is the worst thing about that. Like when you go look at that after not having looked at it, it's like, why are you selling Axe Body Spray to me? Xbox? Like,
yeah.
Although I do know, I've been doing, user hangout a lot recently, and user hangout, wow,
Google Hangout.
Sorry, I've been doing computer crap all day. Google Hangout recently, and like one of the things you can do on that is you can queue up a YouTube video and it will show it to everyone on the hangout at once, and it kind of does some of those things. It is kind of nice to be able to do some of that, although...
But we don't know that it'll do that thing. We don't know that it'll be, like, screen sharing.
It'll be like
So they're saying you might just be able to do it?
Right. So, like, when they were first bringing Netflix to the Xbox 360, there's this idea that you could have, like, a party chat. Like, you could open up a party chat in the NXE, the new Xbox experience from 2008, and you would be able to all watch the same movie and have like a voice chat going. A, why are you doing that? I don't want you talking to me during this movie. Mm-hmm. And B, well, don't talk to me ever. That's really the goal.
Oh,
of all
sorry,
of this.
Dude.
Sorry, no, it's fine. This is my daily, you know, talking time whenever I do this. But they had to put the kibosh on it because of licensing stuff. Because, like, what happens if you do have a friend who lives over in Europe and, oh, it's not on Netflix Europe, or maybe this country doesn't have Netflix because that's primarily an America thing. Like, it gets tricky when you start talking about broadcasting. I mean, look at that, you know, Nintendo stuff about Let's Plays and things like that. All of a sudden, people are clamoring for, saying that video of their thing is entitles them to money from that thing.
Hmm. This sort of seems like, though, I mean, I think we have to look at where it could go. I mean, with all this, you know, ability to multitask and run, you know, different programs, you know, maybe you'll be able to run video and then, games and chat, and then maybe, you know, they'll add, like, word processing and Excel and... You know, wouldn't it be great if we had a system now that could do all those things?
But don't you know you can't put your you cannot put your computer in your living room? You just can't do that. It's not allowed. Federal agents would come in and gun you down without saying so much as a word. David, you will be asleep in your bed at one night, and then you'll hear crashing through the windows. They're going to rappel into your building from helicopters. They're going to put a gag around your mouth and then take you away to a room somewhere where you'll never be heard from again.
Did you run this computer? Look at me. Did you run this computer?
Yeah.
We're so sorry. You're probably so tired of hearing about Xbox stuff at this point.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the stuff that we know right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead.
What happened with the whole thing where you have to install games to the hard drive and then you don't need the disc and you may or may not have to pay if another account wants to use them?
That's actually, thank you very much for the segue, David, because that's what I was going to go to, because as of right now, like, I'm still not certain, like, if this is a thing. Like, I know, Dennis, you found something that may be an official statement about it, but I don't know that I'm comfortable stating it as, you know, as God's fact.
It's an official looking dude making a statement about it.
he
had a nice tie.
Yeah, exactly. He's wearing a tie. So the notion is that installs will be mandatory, which is real weird because dual layer Blu-ray can hold 50 gigabytes, and with a 500 gigabyte internal non-removable hard drive, that'll really be a problem if you plan to have more than 10 games.
Pull up your Steam account and see if you have more than 10 games.
I'm depressed by my Steam list, David. I'm depressed by lots of things, but that's one of those things that I'm depressed by. But they're saying, okay, mandatory installs. Okie dokie. Can I run it without the disc? Who knows? Don't ask that question yet. But the scuttlebutt, at least as of the time we're recording this, and we're going to, you know, I'm not going to edit it out if it's proven wrong, because what do you think? I have integrity. but they're saying that if you want to play this game with another user profile, another Xbox Live profile, not even right now at a different system, you need to pay a fee, which is up to and including maybe the MSRP, is what your dude said, Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, that's I went away from the window. I want to say Phil Harrison. That sounds right. That could be a singer, but he said again, that's kind of, and then, you know, Xbox came right back out and said, no, these are just potential features that we are considering.
Features.
And nothing has been officially announced yet. Which, you know, I love the quote that nothing is more transparent than when someone isn't being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of response was, to me, at least, a straight up admission that yes, we were planning on doing this and we'll either now proceed to do it or furiously backpedal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this just seems like, you know, I don't know the demographic information, but I just perceive the Xbox's niche to a certain degree as being kind of the dorm room system.
Which they did
inherently
the right thing with...
means
oh, go ahead.
You're going to have people from lots of different accounts playing the game.
Yeah. And they got the whole dorm room thing right with the you know, all the EA stuff, and the fantasy sports integration is genuinely cool. Like, that's awesome. I don't know if any of you guys do fantasy sports.
I watched the league.
close enough. Close enough. Like, I think it would be amazing to be watching, you know, football on a weekend and have like just a little sidebar updating custom to my team in real time.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they could actually like integrate it into the play, like a guy scores a touchdown, a little like +2 pops up above his head, that would make my day.
Oh man, that's great.
Can I have that happen when I'm watching the league and when Taka does something wacky?
There needs to be a fantasy league for the league.
What the heck is the league?
It's a funny television show on FX. It's a comedy. Think like It's Always Sunny with Philadelphia, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, except with fantasy football ostensibly being involved. Yeah,
It's Always Funny with Raymond.
It's Always Funny with Raymond. That's pretty good. I like that. So like that stuff, I mean, I didn't speak to it because sports. Yeah. And then, you know, they announced a new Call of Duty. Ben, feelings on Call of Duty Ghosts?
I jumped ship after Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I didn't say what I had to say about the install thing. I bet you guys are really tired of me just like talking about this stuff, right?
Not really.
Well, tell us what your thoughts on the install thing.
Okay. I don't mind a mandatory install. Like, if you can count on a certain set of parameters, you know, being true, then you can design something better. That's the benefit of console, right? Like, you can count on everybody having the same hardware, the same configuration, roughly. You know, just like there are things that you can take for granted, you know, that you can take as read when you're designing this game.
Yeah, it's a lot like communism. Everything sucks equally.
I mean, kind of, but like that. look at what happened with the original run of Xboxes. I think even still today. Okay, like back in 2005 when they put out one Xbox that had a 20 GB hard drive, and they put out one Xbox that had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming out and saying, like, we would really, really like to be able to, like, do this stuff that requires maybe a little bit of extra storage or, to make these textures just a little bit higher fidelity and then put them onto the hard drive so that we can actually have load times that are reasonable. Like, nope, you cannot count on somebody having a hard drive. And that led to a bunch of games being designed around not installing it. If you installed it, it would make it run slower. It's just a real big mess. It adds a bunch of variables into what is supposed to be a closed and reliable system, right? So if you're scared of PC and like, oh, do I have enough, Zoobalbots to run the blah, 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 like, you know, that kind of Greek, then you go for this. So that's fine. I like standardization. I like developers being able to count on like one set of things. However, what I don't like, and this goes into the usual canard that you tell about always on and DRM and blah blah blah. But here we go. Piracy is a problem. Okay, all you have to do is look at the PSP to see like why that is a real problem. Developers didn't want to make shit for the PSP because they couldn't count on 80% of the audience paying money for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the problem is any measure that you take to protect your thing from those people, they get around it by hook or by crook, and it hurts. I'm not saying anything new. This is not new. But like they get around it, and it hurts people who actually paid for their shit.
Oh yeah, I guarantee you that it just became every hacker's goal to take down internet connectivity for more than a day once Xbox One comes out.
To take down the grid, yeah. And this goes into like, okay, so Now I know, don't sell your Xbox because you have a whole shelf of games that you won't be able to play on this new thing anymore. Okay, cool. I'll hold on to this because I know my Xbox will work. Right? My Xbox 360, I'll be able to play these games until that thing stops working and I can't replace it. Okay? But with this, like, if that grid goes down, if the servers go offline, 25 years down the line, if I want to play, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts, I likely will not be able to play it in that form, like I remember it. And
an
as
early
somebody,
prediction of Call of Duty Ghost.
and as somebody who really likes going back and playing games, let alone like when it becomes your only option to go to Amazon to get a game, right? Mm-hmm. Like all that stuff, that is scary to me. That that there's the outside possibility that I would not be able to play this thing that I paid for, knowing full well, being the cynic that I am, that I'm only ever renting anything that I buy anyway, blah, 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 you know, can't take it with you. Everything that we die is just a moment. Everything that we buy is just a momentary distraction on the road to the grave. But like that still sucks to know that you don't have that peace of mind that it's always going to be there for you.
I don't get why they don't just say that, you know, In 10 years, we're going to take down the servers and no more, you don't need online connectivity anymore.
Oh, yeah, that they just unlock it?
Yeah, just say, like, in 10 years, we don't care if it gets pirated.
Well, in 10 years, we don't care about this thing, so screw you. We're not going to send out the signal that makes this thing not always online.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, that's an admission that up front, the only reason they had it there was to get more money. Which I'm not sure that needs to be something that they need to admit as much as it is just kind of apparent.
Well, I mean, they're a corporation that is based out of America. Like it is their responsibility. It is the reason for existing to make as much money as possible for the people who own it. Like,
see, I don't
so,
think so. If they didn't, then
they would like be liable for criminal suit. Like everything they have to do is everything they do is, you know, what they think will make the money.
See, but what I'm saying is, you know, capitalism is the pursuit of profit. It's not the pursuit of profit at any cost. That's anarchy.
Well,
I mean, just because something's profitable doesn't mean it's right.
Anarchy. What do you think the A in America stands for?
That
just blow your mind.
Right. I forgot about the little circle around it.
Yeah. most fonts, most typesettings do not include the circle around the A in America. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, and you know it might not end up making them money, you know, because people might not want to get it. Like if I can count on PS4 always working, no matter what my internet connectivity status is, and again, being the cynic that I am, I recognize that I will always like there is very little likelihood that I will find myself in a situation where I'm without internet connection, so long as I don't take a real hard turn and end up in a shelter somewhere. You
except
know.
That, like, last week, my internet went down for a day.
Okay, yeah, there we go. It happens all the time. Like, we live in America. Our internet infrastructure is made out of a couple of cups and some string.
But certainly not a dump truck.
I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, I guess for me, the other part of it is, you know, the comfort I take is I know that if 10 years down the line that actually happened, by that point someone will have cracked it. But the thing is, what they're effectively doing is, for the consumer, turning the pirates into the good guys.
What do you mean?
Well, basically, because of all this stupid crap they do, I'm rooting for, you know, I'm hoping that at some point someone finds a way to steal it, so that way if they just later on decide to screw me over and, you know, take down the servers, I can just get it from the guy that, you know, from the black market, so
to speak. Well, okay, so by that same logic, you could also say that the pirates are the bad guys, because if they weren't out there doing this thing, then we wouldn't have to be put through all this in the first place.
Yeah, so
sorry, go ahead.
I think it's, you know, it's cyclic. It's frenemies.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Ben?
When's the Steam Box come out?
I don't know. I have no idea, but I bet you Gabe Newell is just he's doing the Mr. Burns excellent right now. Oh, gosh.
Funny that he's competing with Microsoft too.
Yeah, my final thought on this would be like I think it's very telling that Sony was like a myriad of developers, specifically like indie developers, at mm-hmm. their reveal. And Microsoft was EA and Activision.
I mean, just look, they have to think about pleasing the most people, A, and also B, you know, like I hesitate to, man, I hate to step on your final thought, dude. But okay, so I'll segue into my final thought, which is it's all about the games. I want to wait until E3. I recognize, at least I hope, that they didn't show a lot of games because they want to, you know, have a little bit of wind in their sails when E3 happens, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll take this opportunity. We'll let you know that this exists. We'll show you what it looks like. It looks freaking stupid. It looks like a stereo from the 80s that mixes matte and gloss finishes. What are you doing? Even the press photos that I saw, there was like dander on top of the glossy parts, you guys. There was dander, hair, and fingerprints on it. And it's like, why in the fuck would you make anything glossy in this world?
There's no reason.
Man.
It's funny you should never mind.
Ben, final thought.
I really don't have one. I'm pretty indifferent to the consoles that are coming. So
yeah. How about you, David?
It's honestly this one. Kind of similarly. It strikes me as all the new features they suggested were very console-y, and you know, I just by my preferences don't like consoles. So I don't know to what degree my reaction would be more positive if I was someone who, you know, like thought standardization was a good thing and just wanted a system that, you know, my core want was to be able to pop in and have a closed system and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how much of it is just I'm not the target market.
Yeah, like the recognizing the difference between not good and not for me, like, right. is mm-hmm. pretty big. In life in general and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So, I don't know. I didn't mean to take up the whole brief with that, but we've been going for a little bit. Does anybody have a thing they want to say before we go on?
Nope. I feel like that was a good little ranting session.
Yeah, there. And all of this is probably outdated by the time you hear it. So, welcome to a time capsule into 3 days ago. So yeah, the grind.
Yes.
I'm gonna go get some water because it's hot as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
The grind.
It is time for The Grind, where we talk about the current gen games that we are playing. I would ask if there are any volunteers who want to go.
I want to go.
Go, do it. You said you had an exciting thing.
Yeah, I do. Mass Effect 3. I finally started playing it.
Oh, awesome. Hooray.
I bypassed that whole pesky Mass Effect 1 and 2 business.
Ah, you've already played them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so this game's like what? Year and a half old?
Not even that. It came out like last January.
Okay.
Year and a third.
All right. Yeah. I'm enjoying it so far. It's, it's pretty much a continuation of Mass Effect 2. It's the same format, it seems.
Yeah.
Instead of collecting friends, you're building up defenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. So, yeah. It's enjoyable. If you played the other games, it seems to be a nice continuation of that.
How far have you gotten?
Not terribly far. I mean, I guess you state the progress of the game by how filled up the meter is. I've probably played for about maybe like 5 or 6 hours, probably.
Okay.
Maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. There are missions. longer than you think.
It's difficult like to gauge progress. It's like Mass Effect 1 in that way, except it's not so, you know, at least in Mass Effect 1, you could say, oh, I've done 3 of the 4 planets or something like that. In this, like it's more linear, but you have a choice as to what you do. It's real strange. What do you think of the shooting? Like it's been a while since you played Mass Effect 2, I know, but
yeah. I mean, you know, it seems to be the same general fighting style as the other two games, or at least an extension of it. I've upgraded the Singularity all the way. It was the first one that I decided to level into.
So you're playing as an adept.
Yeah, that's usually what I go for. It's fun to see people float helplessly and then shoot them. So I've been doing that, rolling with Garrus and one other person that I don't want to say to not give something away.
Okay.
But it's been enjoyable so far. I'll probably continue playing it. I don't know. It's nice to play a game after playing like the Tomb Raider and Far Cry and all these things that rely on these like shock moments or like, I don't know, stabbing someone with a machete moments or something like that. It's nice to just play a game where like the part that's interesting is like, oh, the genophage might be cured. And it's like, oh, well, that's really interesting. That can be this, this, and this. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So it's very refreshing to play a game like that. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed it so far.
Do you miss like not having your decisions, like, you know, not playing as your shepherd from, you know, 2?
I kind of buried that part of myself when I went into this game. So, I mean, I don't know how many of my crew from the last one are alive in this one,
right.
Since I don't really know what the history is, but I've seen enough of them that, all the important ones are alive. Morden's alive, so I'm happy. That's pretty much all. He's the only one that needed to survive, I guess.
Yeah. Morden and Garrus really are the ones that I was happy to see. There we go. Cool.
I'll keep you updated.
You know, it's that's one that I've wanted to go back and replay just because I don't know, like not a lot of it stuck to me. Like I enjoyed it. I had fun when I was playing it, but like if you told me to recall something that wasn't from the very beginning or the very end, I would be hard pressed, aside from very specific moments, to like say like, oh shit. Like I would have said with, you know, let's just say the Samara loyalty mission, right? Like from 2.
So yeah, I mean, so when I tried to go back and play Mass Effect 2, I think the issue is like, I think so much of the enjoyment of the game comes through the twist and the surprise of each of the missions,
right?
And they're very like novel at the time. But if you go back and play it again, it seems much more like drudgery, kind of, in my opinion. At least from the brief moment that I tried to play Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, and so. I've played Mass Effect 2 a couple of times, specifically 2. That's what I mean by a couple. But
Do you feel that way at all, or
I don't personally feel that way because I love that game so goddamn much.
When I think of like Knights of the Republic, I don't have that feeling. But I feel like if somebody were playing that game who didn't like Star Wars as much, you know, then they could feel the same way I feel about Mass Effect.
Right. So I don't know. You'll have to keep me appraised because there are some specific moments that I really feel are sold well. Despite not remembering any of them.
I'll send you some text if there are any gasps that I have.
Yeah, I always like those. I like this like tacit contract that I have with all my friends that like, you know, I will just occasionally get a message that reads, "Holy shit." And then nothing and then else.
I almost did that to you last night.
Oh, with your game that you're going to talk about?
With a game we've talked about before, so I don't think I'll go too in depth, but in extra time I can tell you what it was.
Okay. So, have you been playing anything else, Ben?
Not really. One of my friends is playing through Walking Dead.
Oh, so cool.
I've seen up through episode 3 now, but that's about it. So,
is that a fun game to watch?
It's fun to see somebody play that game, but to see the choices that they will make.
Yeah.
Because I think that's definitely the sell on watching it. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to see different choices play out. So like, without giving away spoilers, there's one moment in the game where like you can choose to say something to somebody or be quiet, where it's kind of like dark and they can't see you. Mm-hmm. And if you say something, it's like, oh, so-and-so was startled and, you know, they, you know, are scared that you said something. And if you don't say anything, the info comes up and goes, they were startled by the silence. So it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of
startled by this.
Thinly veiled.
I was like in those sorts of things, not so much watching the decisions people do make, but watching the decisions they try to make.
Okay.
In terms of like, well, like, to give a recent example in Spec Ops with the bridge scene.
Right.
Watching like how people like go about like, whoa, can I go over here and maybe no, I can't do that, you know. you kinda know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, Dennis, since you seem to be volunteering yourself, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that actually leads into it. So I played a little more of The Walking Dead. I'm midway through episode 4.
Okay.
And yeah, there was a scene. I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't a jump scene. Like, I didn't jump, but just this flood of adrenaline just hit me like a wall. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, I mean, I guess it was kind of a scary moment, but it wasn't like a physical jump like you would traditionally think. It was just a powerful moment in the game. That just I've left me like almost shaking for the next couple of minutes. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll just say a figure appears in an unexpected way, and
yeah,
it's really, really powerful. So far, episode 4 has seemed a little more contrived. Like, the gaminess of it has been a little more obvious, and the plot, at least in terms of what's moved them from one step to the next, it still flows, it still works, it just doesn't feel quite as natural as the last several episodes have been.
Right.
So, but, you know, I was happy to get back to that, and we'll continue to play it. I finished XCOM.
Oh, cool.
Rounding out games that I've talked about on the show before. Damn, that's a good game. And I went straight into, first off, I'm really impressed. When you finish the game, it gives you all these stats about how you did versus the world average.
Oh, cool.
Which is, yeah, it's just really interesting and gratifying to see some of this stuff. Like, on average, I took riskier shots than everyone else. Like, I would go after lower percentage shots. I actually completed the game in half the time. It like half, you know, the days are constantly counting up, and I finished it in half the days that most people did. Huh. I actually achieved the first major milestone of the game in a third of the time. So I'm like, pat myself on the back. I think I lost way more soldiers though. So oops.
The Zap Brannigan approach.
Yeah. With Zap Brannigan, it's always a suicide mission.
But then immediately upon getting back out to the home screen, it gives you probably 8 to 10 different options for when you start your new game, ways to put twists on it. So, for example, usually when you get new recruits, they all start from the same like base low stat level, and you can set a mode where it randomizes the stats of the new recruits that you get. Or it can set it so that, you know, flanking someone always does a critical hit instead of just giving you a more likely chance for a critical hit. Or it, you know, randomizes the funding that countries give. So just all these interesting little wrinkles that you can mm-hmm. put into the game. I, of course, chose to go from the normal difficulty up to the impossible difficulty.
Right.
And... And that let me tell you, I'm about 4 missions in on impossible difficulty, and it's ceased to be. It's still a strategy game, but it's not in the traditional sense. It's almost like a puzzle game. It's like, you know, I'm iterating missions. I'm dying so often, mm-hmm. and it's just blatantly unfair in so many ways. Like, the aliens make all their shots, crazy low percentage shots that like should never connect just seem to always connect and always connect with critical hits. And so it's almost like, you know, I'm going to abuse save states. God forbid when I try to play this game on Iron Man, which is where you have one continuous save and you cannot back up.
Oh yeah.
But just abuse save states. And like, you almost have all these mini encounters within a level. And so, okay, so if I position my troops this way, then the first encounter kind of plays out like this. But then maybe if I quit out and change my equipment based on that, I can get through that first encounter. But oh crap, now there's a second encounter with twice as many aliens. Well, let me, you know, I've already gotten through the first encounter, so I don't want to back up. So maybe if I try way flanking, it takes me three turns to get around, but I know where the aliens are because I'm abusing save states. So now I can trigger them at just the right point and I've flanked in the right way that maybe I can survive that second encounter. And it's just, it feels impossible. And so it's incredibly rewarding as you kind of get through these encounters, and it makes you break the game down into such small parts and focus on every little thing you do.
Yeah.
It's very gratifying when it works. The downside is that I can spend an entire night playing one section of one level. So there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see this game being kind of something that kind of sticks with me and sticks around, and, you know, every once in a while I'll get it out and mess around with it and all that stuff. I'm definitely playing it more than any of the other games I'm talking about tonight, but yeah. So XCOM, really, really good.
Yeah.
Happy with it. I bought and played and finished Thomas Was Alone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Unceremoniously to the next game. That freaking amazing. We talked about indie developers earlier, and Mike Bithell. No matter how, even when you're saying his name right, it sounds like you're saying it wrong because that TH in the middle there. Mike Bithell, just it's a platformer a puzzle platformer distilled down to its most elemental form, but infused with so much personality that you don't care.
Right.
Like, none of the levels that I played were exceptionally hard. And I would go as far as to say none of the levels were particularly that inventive in terms of solving the puzzles. But there is so much damn personality in these rectangles that I ate up every second of it. And I'm going to quote Geo Law, cuz he and I got the game at the same time. And he tweeted that, you know, he found himself in a jealous rage because he was a rectangle who had a girlfriend that was another rectangle who liked a taller rectangle than he was. He's insane. Like,
he's insane.
Wait, is this like Flatland the game?
Probably. But it's so, so, so good. And, with all the different mechanics that are introduced, I was kind of left feeling like they didn't completely explore any of them. So, like, you know, there's some rectangles that invert gravity, and there's some rectangles that can double jump. And, you know, that causes some really interesting combinations. And some of those combinations are explored, but other ones just aren't even really touched. And, like, you know, I was thinking up level designs for the game. But I feel like that's okay that they didn't explore everything. You know, the game, I think, did exactly what it wanted to do. And I almost feel it was like Journey. You know, I've said before on the show that I wish there was an actual platforming game attached to Journey that had this jump as a limited resource. I think that's a really intriguing mechanic. You know, they didn't really explore that. They wanted to do something else. And I think Thomas Was Alone is exactly the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was a missed opportunity for them to put in the narration? Okay. So what am I thinking here? There's a better way to phrase that. Do you feel that the narration takes away from the experience?
Oh no, the narration completely makes it.
Okay.
Like, I think David Wallace. No, that's wrong.
No, you're thinking of the guy who wrote Infinite Jest.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a sidetrack. Have you guys watched the video for This Is Water?
No.
No.
Just do a search. Yes, you have. It is the commencement speech that David Foster Wallace gave at Kenyon College graduation back in 2005. That is about the banality of grown-up life and how you can use that as an opportunity to not be a dried up bitter husk of a person. Mm-hmm. It's real good. You saying David Wallace like it made me realize that is a neat thing that happened since we last spoke, and it is really, really worth watching.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find this name now, and Danny Wallace. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, so close. I was close, but he just infuses this text with so much personality. Does an excellent job of it.
Right.
So I would say the game would be completely different if there wasn't a narrator.
Right.
Which, how often has voice acting really made a video game? You know, that's really interesting.
Bastion.
Oh yeah, I haven't played Bastion.
Portal.
Oh yeah.
Mass Effect.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure there are others.
Thomas Was Alone is a completely ordinary game that apparently does the same thing everyone else. No,
no, no. It's the only reason that I ask about that is that it kind of seems like it'd be neat to have this game that was told entirely through the animations of these shapes, right? Like that would have been an achievement, and maybe that wasn't the achievement they were going for. I'm just projecting my own desires onto this thing that somebody else made.
Yeah. And that maybe that's where they'll go with Thomas Was Alone 2, which I understand is a very unfortunate acronym.
Thomas was even more alone because the voice left him.
Yeah. So great, great little game. The final thing I've played, and this was just for kicks, I got a free game rental from Redbox for like one day. And I was like, what do I only care about enough to play for one day? So I went out and I got God of War Ascension.
Oh, really?
And it was so bad.
Very good call.
So bad. Like, just a couple lowlights for you. God of War always has tried to do this spectacular monsters and this sense of scale. And it does it in this game, by zooming the camera out. But it always zooms the camera out while you're in the middle of a fight with smaller creatures, which means that you can't watch the big thing that it's trying to show you in the background because you're trying to focus on the fight. But you can't fight because you're too zoomed out to see what you're doing.
Okay.
So you just wind up closing your eyes and hitting the square button until something happens.
Ugh.
Really, really annoying. And you
That's what I did of most of the game anyway.
Yeah. Another problem with it, this was just two things that I saw it happen. I'm like, this can't be happening. So he's in this like dungeon place, right? And there's some like, mind altering witch lady, the fate. I think they're the fates this time. One of those things from Greek mythology, but it's like, an illusion type of person chasing him. Or he's chasing her. I forget what it was. But he's in this like dungeon where, everything's horrible. And he opens this door and walks in, and all of a sudden he's in the classic God of War, topless girls who want him scene.
Right.
And like, so they all start coming on to him and trying to grab him. But then the thing that tips him off that this is not real, not the fact that he's found a whorehouse in the middle of a decrepit dungeon. No, no, that's perfectly fine. The thing that tips him off is that one of the prostitutes is wearing the ring that the bad guy wears. And then and only then does he realize that this is a trick.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. He's like, nah, bitches come at me like this all the time. To be
fair, there's been a scene like that in almost every other video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so that was just egregious. Even more egregious, and this was the point at which I put down the controller. I'm like, well, that was a fun hour. Is you fall into a pit that's, conveniently just too low to jump out of.
Right.
So you have to go down this path, and you get to this really elaborate puzzle, and you're trying to get to this lever to pull at the end of it. And so you solve this big puzzle. And you pull the lever, and then you walk out of the room and rip a chunk out of the wall and use that to climb out of the pit.
Right.
No reason for the lever.
God.
Pay no attention to the lever behind the curtain.
pay no attention to the lever that also opens the chunk in the wall? I don't know. You're going to need to help me here.
He just needed the space to think. And he's like, no, problem solve, Kratos, problem solve. Rip a chunk out of the wall.
You know, life is about rituals.
Yeah. So it's just, dude, this thing, and it got an 8 in like some reviews, and they're like, oh yeah, this is the same great God of War with, you know, a couple wrinkles. And no, it's horrible. It should not be a game. Don't do this thing.
Gross.
You killed Zeus. Or, sorry, spoiler. You killed Zeus.
Like, eventually. Okay.
If there's a character in God of War that isn't named Kratos, he kills them.
Yeah, I was gonna say there are only like 5 Greek gods. One of them is gonna be Zeus, and all of them are gonna be dead.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was fun. That was.
That's embarrassing.
It was entertaining. That's what I'll say. That hour was very entertaining.
But like, that's the purpose of games. Like,
yeah.
Is this like a shameful entertainment? I don't even know.
It was entertaining in the same way that the opening video of the Xbox reveal event was entertaining.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was so bad. Like, here at Dunder Mifflin, we believe in games.
Is that really what it was? Did they get the cast of The Office to do a thing?
No, like, look it up. It's like a horrible corporate office, like, promotional video.
Oh God, those are the worst.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and they do the whole, like, this console is for me.
Ugh.
Like, they do that. Not to derail us. God of War Ascension. Not a very good game. Highly entertaining for about an hour.
Good thing it was free and from a box.
Yes. Yes.
That is funny.
So that's what I've been playing.
I see. How about you, David?
I've been playing this game on Early Access on Steam called Loadout, which is basically, it's, I guess, kind of a Quake style, you know, like ultra-fast, arcadey, first-person shooter. But its big niche is that you build the weapon you're going to use from the ground up. So you can select, like, you know, you go and select which trigger you're going to use, and it's like, you know, fully automatic, you know, spin-up chain gun, semi-automatic, etc. You know, the clips, there's, you know, regular clip where you load one bullet at once, or at a time, you know, bolt action. So, you know, the whole thing, you completely build whatever gun you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still in development, so not all of them are this way, but, for example, on the rocket launchers, I can create a rocket launcher that, you know, can load up, you know, six rockets, and you know, fires them at a 3-round burst, and they, you know, travel in sort of a corkscrew design and bounce off walls, and then when they hit something, they throw out a flak cloud that also heals people.
So you get to be Tony Stark.
Yeah, basically. And so it's just this, you know, completely over the top game. It's kind of meant to, you know, kind of have the really crappy, like, 80s vibe. So, like, your character looks almost identical to Stallone. You know, and I don't know. I mean, so far it's a really fun game. There's a lot of little touches that really entertain me. So, for example, the under the options menu, the option for whether you want camera bobbing as you're running around, the two options are either shake it up or rock steady.
Okay.
So there's just, you know, all a whole bunch of things like that.
It would have been better if they did it Rocksteady and Bebop.
Yes, that would have been awesome. But so far, it's going to eventually be free to play. It's currently you can buy a starter pack and get early access, and. So, but it's going to be free to play. But it seems like pretty fair approach to it. You start out with basically one of every basic weapon part, and then the first, at the end of every match, this little buzzsaw pops up and sort of does a Wheel of Fortune type thing. And it can land on you, giving you, like, some in-game currency or, like, a new weapon part, stuff like that. So, seems fairly fair. Doesn't seem like they're really trying to do the whole, like, you don't have to pay, but we're just going to make you regret it if you don't.
Yeah, it's not pay to win.
Right, exactly. I also like that from like 6 to 7 o'clock every day is happy hour, where you gain 2x XP.
Yeah, they do
that. I like that.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now it's just a really fun, really, really stupid game. I guess the only other thing that really deserves a shout out is it's kind of over the top, like cartoony gory. So, like, as you get shot, like, chunks will be, like, knocked out of your character to the point where, like, you could be running around and, like, your leg is just, like, a bone with some meat on it, or, like, your head is just, like, a brain and two eyeballs, like, bouncing around.
Gross.
It's all just so very cartoony. So, like, if you get killed by, like, a headshot, you know, the head explodes and, like, your character, like, feels round for its head.
This is Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked one of the reviews of it I read that I felt summed up said it's Looney Tunes as directed by Quentin Tarantino.
That's funny.
Nice.
So how do you, I mean, the Steam early access stuff kind of throws me off my balance just a little bit.
Sure.
Just because I don't know how I feel about paying for something that isn't finished. And, you know, So I'm going to be treading in very hypocritical grounds here because I bought Minecraft when it was in alpha before everybody else was doing this kind of thing. But I guess, here's what I'll say. Not everything is Minecraft. But there are two games that I really, really like the look of that, you know, I would buy if they were finished. They are on Steam Early Access, but I don't want to give them the money right now because I don't want to pay them for a thing that's not done.
Sure. I should at the start say I actually didn't buy it. One of our viewers, Jala, sent it to me.
Ah, okay.
But as far as I can tell, at least the way they're handling it, is sort of as kind of a Kickstarter-esque thing.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, very big focus, you know, everywhere on it is, you know, hey, please report bugs. Please, you know, come to our forums and suggest things.
Right.
They have a, I think, a weekly, like, you know, kind of video, you know, development log they put out. And, you know, it seems fairly legit. They'll be like, you know, such and such 98, you know, suggested this. So here's what we're thinking about doing with this. So it seems like they're kind of trying to do kind of a shared development type thing.
Right.
I don't know if that's, you know, the way all of them do it, but that seems to be at least the way they're handling it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the two games that I'm looking at are specifically Kerbal Space Program, which I played a little of. And Prison Architect.
Yeah, I've seen a number of people playing that.
I don't know.
Can you make Escher prisons in that? Because that would make my day.
Like ones where up is down and left is right, or
yeah. Was it Escher that made like a whole bunch of his designs were theoretically prisons?
That you just couldn't get out of.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's some artists like that. Sorry, if we have any, like, I'm sure architecture or art majors listening to this. There's some artists that made all these, like, really over-the-top, like, surrealist designs, but they were all theoretically, like, designs for, you know, like, theoretical prisons.
Right.
That, don't know. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm having art class flashbacks.
Can I express some outrage that isn't related to the thing you just said?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You have offended Cole.
No. I have Steam open just because there was something I wanted to check on. And the first thing that I see in the store tab is it's for a Greenlight game. It's a little known thing that they really need your help because in no way is this available anywhere else. They're trying to greenlight a Steam version of Dragon's Lair. Okay, Dragon's Lair, the arcade game from the 80s that is available on every single platform that like pioneered the QTE, blah, 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 is being greenlit or was greenlit. There we go. It was greenlit. Does that strike anybody else as like an abuse of that system at all?
In terms of like that's a game that shouldn't have gone through greenlitting, it's just kind of should be like, just, hey, this is probably legit.
Just fucking publish it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Ugh.
What does Greenlight? Do you notice Steam with Greenlight do the thing? You know, are there a finite number of games in a given quantum of time that can be greenlit?
I have no idea. I think that it's just like literally, if enough people vote for it, they will put it on the store. So as opposed to Steam's staff trying to vet all of these games that are being submitted, they're put up on Greenlight, and it's like, if you can get the community to verify that yes, this is in fact a game, then it will be put up there. Which isn't to say that there are not good games that have gone through on Greenlight. Like Surgeon Simulator 2013 is on there, and that is really, really cool. But just this seems like a weird, gross use of it.
Yeah, that does seem kind of odd.
It does seem weird and gross.
If you take the approach that this is a finite pool of resources and the money would be going to some other developer, then yeah. If you take the approach that this is kind of a growing the pie, as it were, and there are people mm-hmm. who would chill out for this uniquely that just wouldn't spend the money on it otherwise, yeah, I don't really have a problem.
Right.
I don't know what that cross section looks like of those things, though.
Yeah. I don't even know. But yeah. What was that? The name of the thing. I've seen you playing it on Steam all week, so.
Yeah. Loadout. Good.
Loadout.
Very good stuff.
Yeah. Neat. Anything else on your thing?
Been playing a little bit of Guild Wars with some of the people that watch the podcast. So I guess one shout out. Definitely if. Co-op with our viewers, stuff like that's pretty cool. So look us up on Steam, or at least look me up on Steam. My only thing I have to say on that is I have absolutely no clue what the plot of that game is, but I'm making lots of things be dead.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it looks real goofy. There are a lot of strange races in that, and kingdoms and things. It's very non-standard fantasy, which isn't a bad thing, but...
Yeah, I do like the fact that humans are the dying race in this game.
Right.
I kind of like that change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked about Guild Wars 2 before, I'm trying to think. Well, do you guys mind if I go?
Please.
It's not a whole lot. Just going to like pipe in with a couple of things. So a little bit more BioShock Infinite. I like it a lot still. It's real neat. I dig the aesthetic. I don't feel like I've played more. I haven't played enough more of it to justify spending a whole lot of time, because I wouldn't say anything too new, except it's good. It is a good game. Let us
Where
look
are you
here.
At?
I just got to Monument Island.
Okay.
So still not too far in. It's just been difficult for me to sit down and find an uninterrupted contiguous time.
No worries.
Played a demo of Kerbal Space Program because, as I said, I am reluctant to buy it right now. It's neat. It's really good. Have you guys heard anything about it?
Is this the rocket simulator that's actually rocket science?
Yes. Yes, it is the rocket simulator that is actually rocket science, and it is balls hard. It is so hard. Like I haven't gotten off the runway or the launch pad. There we go. Yeah, haven't gotten off the launch pad yet. You would think there's just kind of like a tube with some stuff in it that makes it go, and you're on the moon and you're having fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude. Usually, like, you know, one of those old film bottles with some soda and vinegar, baking soda and vinegar would do the trick there.
Yeah,
if you just want to get in the air, I mean, that's a pretty easy way. I don't know if they afford you that option within the sim.
No, I don't.
Yeah, after all, I don't live like 5 miles from a multi-billion-dollar government facility dedicated to doing just that.
with the vinegar and baking soda?
Yes, that's what I meant.
No, yes, we have put a man on the moon, but we have not done it purely with baking soda and vinegar.
all I know
Neil
about...
Neil Arm and Hammer Strong. Boom!
That's how Bill Nye died.
All I know about the game, honestly, is that it has a Wernher von Braun Kerbal, which makes my day.
I don't know who Wernher von Braun is.
He was... the Operation Paperclip guy. That's the like father of all rocket science.
Oh yeah, because nothing that we have now, like literally everything that we have now came from the Nazis. That's funny. But yeah, it's a real neat game. It definitely is. It tries your patience, but I like games where you make things. That's nifty. A little bit more FTL, but honestly, that's just kind of like a, you know, I'm bored right now for 5 minutes. I would like to play this before, you know, XYZ, whatever I'm going to do. The big one and one that I'm going to spend just like a little bit more time on is Super Stickman Golf 2.
Yeah, you mentioned
that title
this one to me,
makes my day every time I hear it.
Yeah. Oh God, you guys, it is so good. I've probably mentioned it in passing because, you know, it's my ritual that I just buy a fuckload of iOS games and play a little bit of them and then see which ones stick. But this one does. It has. So the premise is it is a 2D golf game where you control the angle of your shot. And so it's like 2D side-scrolling golf in like these themed courses where you play as – he's not really a stick man because he actually has like a body. Like a stick man, I think, is like all lines.
False advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, you're trying to get your ball into the hole as you do, but you can do like bang shots off of walls. You can do, you know, they're like curvy things. You have power up balls. So like the one that you start out with is like the mulligan. So if you mess up a shot, you can, you know, reset back to where you first, back to before you hit it. So it's like a do over button, but it's limited. But that gets even crazier with like sticky balls. So like if you want your ball to stick to a wall because it'll give you a better shot, you can do that. Or to a ceiling or whatever. There's like a power up that switches water hazards and sand traps. So if there's a problematic water hazard in your way, you can turn it into a sand trap and then land in that.
Just oh, nice. Military applications.
I know, right? Beaches would be fun.
That was the plot of Batman 2, right?
This beach is now a river. Oh, God,
just,
all these fish are dead.
I was just thinking, like, yeah, Iran, we'd sure hate for you to be ocean.
Jesus.
Sorry, why it stuck in my head.
Batman 1, that was the plot of Batman 1, I'm pretty sure. Or Batman Begins, whatever they're called. I'm sorry, this Xbox One thing has gotten into my head.
That is funny. I don't know. Batman Year 1.
That's an actual thing.
Yeah. But it is really good. It does have some pay to win. Not okay, so it kind of has pay to win kind of stuff in it, but it's real out of the way. So you pay money to get the game, so that's always a good sign when, you know, you have that. But as you go, you can do these trick shots to pick up, you know, these dollar bills, like these bucks that are in the world. And you can use that. You can use those bucks either to go into the hat lottery, which you like every buck that you put in gives you a chance of getting a new hat. And those hats on your stick man give them special abilities. So like there's like basic cosmetic ones. Like there's a pirate hat that turns all water hazards into blood traps. Into blood hazards, I guess. Yeah.
How is that better?
It just turns the water red.
Thicker than water.
It's metal.
No reason, just red.
It's metal as fuck. but there are ones where like your ball's not affected by magnets, and there's like a whole course that is dedicated to magnets, and like they repel your ball away from them. It makes some shots really, really tricky. But like wearing that hat, it's a chef's hat, I think, which doesn't make much sense. Wearing that hat makes that an entirely different course.
So you're apparently playing golf with metal ball bearings.
Yes, I suppose. Like a lot of stuff in the game, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense if you look into it too much. But you have those, you can buy bucks, like, but it's real cheap for individual bucks. So you could get everything for a quantity of $10, but that kind of takes some of the fun out of it, because you can replenish your stock of the power-up balls if you run out by using them. So you get 7 on a round, but you can pay a couple of bucks to get a new one, you know, to fill that back up. So it throws the balance of the game off a little bit. I haven't done any of it. I would like to give them some more money, so I'll probably just get as many hats as I can or something. It is a really, really fun game. I'm a little bit bummed out that I haven't been able to do multiplayer yet. So if anybody has an iOS device and wants to play, like I think my iOS game center username bullshit is Cross87, KRoss87. Send me an invite in Super Stickman Golf, and I will do multiplayer with you, because apparently it's a really fun time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am looking it up right now.
Yeah. It is really, really good. Are we done with that part?
I think so.
Okay.
Multiplayer.
It is time for multiplayer, which is where we interact with you. Oftentimes we ask you a question, but sometimes we do a free play round where we have you ask us a question. We have a record turnout, even though I put out the call very late. So thank you for being attentive. You all rule. What are we looking at here? So I'm going to read a question here first. This is from Sam via the contact form, who says, what's your primary way of hearing about games that you actually end up playing?
This podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say Cole Ross, actually.
See, it's funny because I hear about games from other podcasts. Most of the time. Like,
so basically, why don't you guys just cut out the middle?
go listen to these much better podcasts. Whoops. No.
I generally get everything from like Steam. You know, what's advertised on Steam or new releases, stuff like that.
Steam is like the marketing that I just don't feel gross being subjected to.
Yeah.
Like I will occasionally just open up Steam and look at the front page, either to see what's on sale or to see if there is like a new interesting thing that I can add to my wish list. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, like Amazon works a little bit like that to me, but I always go there with a specific thing in mind. I will go to Steam to shop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very true. They do a better job than anyone else I can think of bringing kind of that browsing experience that you have when you're in an actual store to a PC.
Right. Yeah. I don't read an awful lot of like gaming news sites. I like at least to find out about new games. Like I'll see something that's announced, but oftentimes when you are looking at that, you're really just kind of seeing like, oh, there's a new Halo. It's, I don't know what that voice was, but looking at this here. Can it what?
No, I was just saying, can we not find out?
I don't know. I don't know what that voice was.
No, I'm just messing.
Yeah, well, go ahead and somebody else read another question from the Facebook thread.
Sure. Robert Noakes says, do potions fail at their job as a reward, specifically a quest reward?
It's too good to use syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. It's I always find it's kind of like there's no, I can't use them on every fight, and there's no one fight that needs them more than others. Therefore, I don't use them at all. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
There's also almost like an uncanny valley for potion usefulness. Like, you know, the low level potions, like your standard Phoenix Down and stuff, you just, you know, that you use that while you don't, you use heal if you've got anyone good. But like, so I'm ruining my own thought. you can use those to heal up, or like, you know, outside of the battle, I'll use those to heal up, just because I don't want to use up my magic points or whatever. And then there's like the really badass items, which is like, oh, I can't wait to try this out just because it's cool. It maybe does something new. And then, you know, right before that, though, there are these ones that are powerful, but not in an interesting way and not in a way that isn't, you know, kind of replicated through some character action. Right. And so why would I spend a turn and use a resource when I could get essentially the same effect without using a resource?
Yeah.
So did you, like in Dark Souls, did you use your pine resins?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, I know. I think I did wind up using them, was it against the centipede demon or something like that? But it just, I hung on to him until insanely late in the game and probably bashed my head against a lot of walls that would have fallen to pine resin.
Right. That is funny. I think it depends on how your scarcity is tuned, because like a potion, quote unquote, in a Resident Evil game will make a huge difference in how your day goes. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
I don't know. I can't think of the last game that I've played that has potions outside of Skyrim. So,
right.
I don't know. Usually I'm one of the guys who hoards them and then never really uses them until I go to a vendor and just sell everything. So.
Right.
I think it's honestly in the times where I've intentionally said, okay, I'm going to use these as often as possible because it's stupid for me to hold on to them. I almost find that it always makes the game almost brokenly easy. And then I feel guilty for using them because I feel like it's cheating in some way. Like I've tried to use them to the point that they feel scarce. I've tried to use it up, and there are a couple of exceptions, but overall the game just keeps on giving you potions.
Yeah.
Or whatever the potion equivalent is.
All that I can think of is in the, let's see here, three or four times that I've played through Final Fantasy VII, I always get to the crater at the end. And you know, I have the usual retinue of, items that are just spells. So whatever it is, like this is like Ramu's hammer, which casts Thunder 3 or whatever, but also I have, you know, 99 potions, 99 high potions, blah, blah, blah. And I always use that opportunity after a fight just to bloop, 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 to heal myself just by pressing X on that thing a bunch of times. Yeah. I don't know. It's real weird. Again, scarcity determines that. It's weird that you mentioned Skyrim, Ben, because like there's no game other, you know, like Elder Scrolls does this really weird thing where potions can either break it or they are just this weird, like it will heal like maybe 5 damage, but also make me slow for the next, or like reduce my reduce my bladed attack spell or something like that. The way that they mix those effects up makes every potion like its own weird thing that's impossible to categorize.
It's hard to make defensive measures interesting in general, and I feel like potions are the worst offender in that area.
Yeah,
specifically healing ones.
Yeah. Actually, one I downloaded a demo a while back for. I'm actually going to have to close it to see Path of Exile.
Okay.
And just briefly, you know, it's Diablo 2 style game.
Yeah.
But potions are an equipment. You equip how you want your potion to act. And then when you kill enemies, like every 50 kills, you get a potion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be like, oh, I have the area of effect potion that heals me and everyone around me. So just I thought that was a interesting way of doing it.
Right. Ben, tell us what Murph asks.
He says, ketchup on hot dogs, crimes against humanity, or essential condiment?
I
answer somewhere in between.
I hate I don't like mustard, so it gets weird for me. Like I put ketchup on hot dogs. I'm not a cool. purist in that regard.
For some reason, I see you as a relish man.
Nope, not relish. No relish. Okay. No relish for me. Like the idea of
you
a Chicago
relish. The relish.
The idea of a Chicago dog makes me like tremble. Like I can't. Like I just can't. I can't do it.
I believe that ketchup is superior to a plain hot dog, but infinitely inferior to a chili on a hot dog.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, chili dog is the way to go.
I hadn't thought about the
All of the world will conform to Cincinnati.
I mean, I've had non-Cincinnati chili dogs though. Like it doesn't have to. It's not specific. We don't have the quarter on the chili dog market.
Oh yeah. But that's in the same way that France doesn't have the corner on the wine market.
I see.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go both.
You do?
Ketchup and mustard. One it's not the same without the other.
I thought you were going to say ketchup and chili.
Ketchup. <Ooh. laughs>
Mustard and chili.
I've seen that though.
Yeah, mustard and chili works.
Really? Yeah. That's a thing?
It's on Skyline Cody's, dude.
Yeah.
You have to ask for them to not put mustard on it.
Yeah. Onions. I can do onions on a dog. I can do onions on a dog. That's fine. Yeah. I like onions on everything,
though. Like an actual dog?
Yes. If a dog eats an onion, he'll die, right?
No, that's Chinese food.
Okay. There are just all these things that if your dog eats it, they'll just die. It's real weird. They'll eat everything, but half of everything they eat with it will make them die. what does Murph actually ask, Ben?
His video game related question was, I got Reus. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think Roos. It's like Zeus, but with an R.
Oh, Roos. I got Roos recently. That sounds like it's code for like getting really wasted or something.
Oh, man. I got Roos last weekend.
I got Roos recently, so I've been thinking about good God games. Lowercase g, too, so take note. What's your favorite God game, and what aspects of it are your favorite?
Okay, throwing away my joke about the Bible game and nothing.
I'm going to say, skip that.
I don't know. I like Black and White a lot. That's fun. You have a pet. He's real cute. Yeah.
I think the only God game I've really played is, if you don't count RTS games as God games, then like God of War. And I liked the third one and the first one.
I think that we're specifically referring to like games where you have influence over a bunch of people.
Yeah. Okay.
I always played Roller Coaster Tycoon like a God game. Like, I didn't care about managing a park. Just give me infinite resources and I will create amusements for the amusement of my subjects and possibly launch some of them to their fiery deaths.
Oh, I missed the obvious one, The Sims. That's like one of my favorite games ever. Like, yeah. Except that makes me a very personal and vengeful god.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there really any such thing as a good god game? I feel like what god games teach us is that it's a very good thing that I'm not god.
Yeah. Well, I mean, video games, no video game can teach us anything that, what's his name, Morgan Freeman and Jim Carrey can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you consider Civ Rev to be a god game?
I don't know. I feel like that's more like a turn-based strategy, like civilization building game. I don't know if I would consider SimCity to be a god game.
Gotcha.
It depends on how you play it.
Yeah, I suppose. Are you hitting that disaster button?
Well, I suppose it depends. I mean, if you're a regular person, you don't consider SimCity a god game. If you're a mayor, you do.
Let's see here. I need to see this. I'm looking on the old Wikipedia.
It does not list SimCity.
It does not. That's
two steps ahead.
That's why we call you three steps ahead, David. David, three steps ahead, Money Smith.
I had to look up God Game.
Yeah, it's an artificial life game that casts a player in the position of controlling the game on a large scale as an entity with divine or supernatural powers, or as a great leader. So Spore, yeah.
Oh, Spore is in the least favorite category.
Yeah, Spore's not really that good, is it?
Ouch.
I remember there was a really old
copy-based game of Life, Cal.
What?
Does Ruby Wedding?
It's a... never mind. It's an automation game.
I didn't even hear the name of the name of the game that you said.
Oh, Conway's Game of Life?
No, I've not heard of that or know what that is.
It's weird.
Huh. Yeah, I'm looking at this. There's like Dungeon Keeper. Oh God, if Dungeon Keeper's a God game, then sign me up. That is a good game.
I did play Sim Earth, and that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and Creatures is good too. I like that.
I was about to bring up Creatures. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I tried to get the game out from the library, but our computer wasn't good enough to run it. That's how good our computer was. And I got really excited reading the manual. I think it was like Creatures 3 or something, where it like promised all these different things that would happen with these evolutionary traits that would get passed down. Mm-hmm. It would all like, you know, come together really cool ways. And like the end of the manual had like a request from the developer that if you get any really cool or weird or strange creatures, email us with a picture of them at XYZ address. And so I got super hyped for it. Finally, we got a computer that could play it, and it was nowhere near what the guide promised. Like, you know, the basically you mashed the two parents together and that was the child color wise.
Was nothing it made by Peter Molinex or whatever his name is?
Peter Molyneux. Peter Molyneux. Nope. Let me see here. No, it was by Creature Lab. So I think that really that was all that they did was the creature games. Huh. Yeah.
Would you consider Tamagotchi a god game?
I think that works.
Maybe. There was there's another game on this list. This becomes us reading the internet, but Afterlife is really good. It was think like Sim Heaven and Hell.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah, huh. Yeah. So you're running Heaven and Hell at the same time. That was a fun game.
Huh.
Yeah. And we really only have one question left, so we might as well. Oh, we have two questions. Let's hit them. In for a penny, in for a pound, right, fellas?
Yeah.
So, Dennis, tell us what Jala asks.
Yeah, Jala asks, what hardware or peripheral are you most interested in of those currently in development or recently released? So the Oculus Rift, Emotive, Epoch, the Ouya. Ouya.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of buzz about Ouya. I have no idea what it is, though.
The Ouya. So the Ouya is a console that was kickstarted, which was basically them saying, we're going to make an Android console. It's going to be free and open, and it's going to be, you know, like no publishers here, guys. And we can emulate whatever we want because information wants to be free. And I'm on Reddit and I wear a fedora and I don't believe in God. It's like, geez, man, cool it. So it was considered to be the great white hope of open software, but it's really kind of it is underperforming. It's a very underwhelming experience, but everybody kind of treated it as a, you know, as a thing.
Well, I mean, you heard me talking earlier about the buttons for the Xbox controller. That's the only one I can think of that I'm excited about.
the
feedback buttons.
Oh yeah, that would be pretty cool.
The Oculus Rift is kind of cool.
It looks cool. I'm tired of reading about the Oculus Rift. I had a toot like a week or two ago, which it was basically I just said, here's a picture of an Oculus Rift on an Oculus Rift. Can I be published in every video game website and blog now?
Yeah, right.
Because every story, if you look at my fucking RSS reader, it is, oh, Minecraft was taken to the Oculus Rift. Oh, Tetris was taken to the Oculus Rift. Oh, the concept of, you know, it's like whatever. Everything is on the fucking Oculus Rift.
Is that jealousy I hear?
No. It's just it looks like a really neat thing, but I don't understand why everything has to be that.
Yeah, it's a way to fill the 24-hour news cycle. You know, first it was reading tweets, then it was the Oculus Rift. Now it's going to be like IGN and Kotaku just recursively correcting each other on Xbox One news. So
that's funny. Yeah. But looking at this right here, there's an awesome little thing that I'm curious about because it's really cheap. It looks like a neat gaming application as like a catch-all emulation box. The Raspberry Pi, PI, yeah. like that right there. So this is like a little like a tiny little Linux microcomputer that you can install emulators onto. It's like $35 to buy or something like that. And you know, you have to have a little bit of computer know how to get it set up, but it has like a couple of hundreds of megabytes of storage on it. And you just run this as a tiny little computer that's like plugged into this thing with whatever USB with whatever USB controller you have.
Oh, that's a really cool idea.
It's basically everything you said about the Ouya, except that people like it.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean, straight up, it's open hardware type thing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's everything about the Ouya, but without the Ouya's like bragging or whatever it is, like the Ouya's posturing. Like, hey Ouya, if you're like that open, why can't I buy why can't I buy games on you with my bitcoins?
Bitcoin reference.
What?
I know the one I'm most excited about. It's still the Power Glove.
Why is that?
Because it was awesome.
I think she said, well okay, so you may not be breaking the letter, but you're breaking the spirit.
Okay.
Of those currently in development or recently released. So recently on the scale of like all of human history. Yes. I looked up these other ones, Jala, like of the Emotive and the Epoch. Or it is just the Emotive Epoch, sorry. It's like this thing that you put on your head that lets you control a game with your mind waves.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm scared now.
I don't know. All that reminds me of. So I remember going to Sun Electronics like back when I was like really little. And it would like, you know, this was like a precursor to Circuit City or whatever. You know, it's where we got like our VCR when the old one broke. This is like the early to mid 90s. And they had this computer thing set up where you stuck your finger into this sensor, right? And there was like a skiing game on. And like the instructions were, think with your left brain to go left and think with your right brain to go right. And it didn't work.
Maybe like, you just need to meditate more.
I guess. I don't know. But like whenever I hear about something like that, all I can think of is all of that technology is at that level, despite the fact that 20 years have passed.
I think there's more. I think there's been more advancements in that technology.
Oh, I did. I don't. I. That's not to say that that's a reasonable opinion I hold.
I guess we said we weren't using Logic for tonight's episode.
No, I am recording it on Logic, but I am not actually employing Logic. How about you, Ben?
I've seen stuff for the Oculus Rift, but I haven't seen enough to be upset with it or like overloaded with it. So that could be cool depending upon how it's utilized. Yeah.
But, I'd like to use it. Like I'd like to put it on. There was a neat thing I saw. Like on a mainstream news site, which was it was like a game jam game that people made that gave you the experience of being put through a guillotine. So it's like you put this on and then you like lean over this rail like with your head over it, and you know, because it's so immersive, like what you're seeing in the game is this realistic 3D, like people standing around like watching you, you know, your loved ones crying, and you know, you see the blade being raised up and you see the executioner in the hood, and then when it hits, they have like this force feedback thing that right when it gets you, you know, like shakes your neck or whatever it is, and like like watching people get really, really scared about that. That's cool. Yeah. That's interesting, I think. But
what about Spec Ops on the Oculus Rift?
Oh God.
What about Dear Escher on the Oculus Rift?
Dear Esther on the Oculus Rift. Like if I saw, I would not be angry if I saw that on Polygon.
You can't be angry if you see anything related to Dear Esther.
Yeah, it's
you can just feel feel a little heartbroken.
Yeah, just existential dread.
Yeah, I feel like as someone who grew up in the 90s, I want one because, I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to have now? That's the future, is like virtual reality.
The future is now. Man. It's a weird future.
And I'm just here waiting for my flying car.
So anyway, what am I thinking of here? We have one final question. Let's hit it and then be done.
Alrighty.
That is you, Dennis, I believe.
No, I did Jala.
Oh, you did? Okay, I forgot about that. Might as well be me, I think. So let's say, this is Christopher Schley. What is the worst game you've ever played that you have gained some enjoyment out of, and why? Whether it's one aspect of gameplay that they were able to stumble into by accident while throwing their feces at a blank disc, or even enjoying the train wreck of what they made coming to its horseshit conclusion.
Excellent writing. I appreciate yeah. that.
Yeah. Huh.
It's called God of War Ascension. God,
and you, by an and you heard all about it.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's like that weird story where you got stuck in an airport and like some really crazy. It was a huge inconvenience, but some crazy stuff happened that made it fun to tell your friends about. Mm-hmm. Like that's God of War Ascension.
Yeah. So like all I can think of is like games that weren't fun, but like even that is, man, I don't know. I just don't spend time playing bad games because my taste is impeccable. No, that's not really, I'm not really that way.
What about Deadly Premonition for you, Cole?
I fucking love Deadly Premonition. I didn't say that, but I went and bought it. I bought it again. I got the director's cut because they fixed the controls, and that was one of the things that really bummed me out about it. So, like, I'll be talking about that again here real soon.
Nice.
Like, I'm not convinced that's a bad game.
Okay.
One of them, the one I was thinking of, and maybe Dennis can back me up, would be Army of Two.
Oh, great choice. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, those are games, one just like morally, or however you want to say it, like the games kind of just aren't all there.
Repugnant, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know, they're just kind of really dumb shooting games, but they're really fun co-op.
The world needs dumb shooters.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other one, this isn't a bad game, but I feel like it's a game where that definitely has the whole, like, has a lot of bad features that end up making the game better, would be the original EverQuest. In terms of, like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just features that by today's standards, you know, don't work well and are clunky. But at the same time, those are all the features that I remember and that make me want to play EverQuest again.
Yeah, I can agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. And that's why I was so excited about that version of EverQuest that is frozen in 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, did you say something? Did you reference?
I didn't. I also wasn't able to come up with anything because my taste too is so impeccable.
It's tough. Like, you know, like we take such.
What about Tokyo Jungle? Tokyo.
Oh yeah.
That's a good game.
Is that a god game?
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't consider that a bad game. It's like it was a very small team that developed it, so it's, you know, not like a polished game, but I wouldn't, you know, I would not say that it's bad in quality.
Yeah, I mean, that like that to me sounds like it sounds like you feel about that how I feel about Deadly Premonition.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that is it for the multiplayer. So thank you everybody for turning out in force. I really like doing those, but next time we will ask you a question about things and stuff. Do we want to do unbosses or button it up? It's been a long episode.
I think the quantity of the and quality, damn it, of the multiplayer makes up for the lack of an end.
Ah, yes. So let's button it up. Ben, can I button it up?
Yeah, please.
Cool. The credit. So that was episode number 21 of Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This. Of course, the 21st episode is when I am stone cold sober. I haven't had liquor in the house for like a week. It's real sad. So let's ruminate on that. Anyway.
We'll fix that in the near future.
I suppose. But what are we looking at here? What can you do? you're probably sick of hearing about it, but we do have a Kickstarter happening for Watch Out for Fireballs. It is duckfeed.tv/Kickstarter. Kick a couple of bucks our way for us to be able to do awesome stuff. As of press time, we just unlocked the first stretch goal of doing an episode about Dungeons & Dragons, and then we are just a little ways away from doing an episode about family fun centers. So think skee ball, think laser tag, think mini golf, think go-karts.
And if the most recent WAF is any indication, you guys have a lot of thoughts about mini golf.
Yes, we do. We spent most of the episode talking about mini golf.
Which, what fucking rad ideas. Like,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, go there and check it out, because that is Gary has a plan, and all we need to do is help him fulfill it. He just needs several million dollars to build the first mini golf RPG. And you can Kickstarter. That's not what the Kickstarter is for. I'm sorry. But I'll stop talking about that right now. Anyway, you can do the usual stuff for us. If you have ideas for t-shirts and stuff, I have one that's kind of sitting in the back of my mind. I just need to design it. But let us know either on the Facebook page or through the contact, because we have a place where we can sell them. And those are going to be popping up here over the next little bit. Tell a friend about the show, please. That is the way that we grow. You guys are a really engaged, awesome audience, and we want to have more of you, because don't we all want more friends in this family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then iTunes ratings, reviews, blah blah blah, that kind of stuff. If you want to,
guys, we are one review away from 25.
Oh yeah, yeah. Somebody do that. I know it's if you're not already in the iTunes ecosystem, it can be a real bummer to go there and sign up and blah, 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 blah. But it helps us out, especially to get to those numbers that make us feel really good. So hit that. And if you want to support the network, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where if you're going to be buying something off of Amazon, we get a little kickback, and that covers things like bandwidth, hosting the website, anything like that. So did I miss anything, fellas?
Don't think so.
We have a Steam group. Just search for the Level Podcast on Steam. Join that. Cool. So let's do the outros. This has been Cole Ross. I am at Cole Ross on Twitter, KOLEROSS.
I'm Dennis Furia, at D Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith, at Moneysmith777, also on Twitter.
I'm Ben Merkel, at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yeah, and Xbox One. So I'm going to drop a marker, and then we're gonna get this thing going, guys. We're gonna do this. Where the hell is logic? Okay, there it is. Okay, good.
This podcast is run without logic.
Yeah, where we're going, we don't need logic.
I mean, that's the way it is. We bring the chaos. Cole brings the logic.
What logic is literally the program?
I feel like that should, if we were a corporate entity, that would be our slogan.
Oh. No, our slogan would be tomorrow's featured today. Yeah.